Good afternoon. This is Rob Knapp. Who's on, please?
Hey, Rob. Paul Wynn and Tim Campbell and Travis Wynn and Lewis Gayden in Montgomery are on.
Hey, Paul. It's Chris Kelly, Lori Potosik in Pensacola.
How you doing, Chris?
Good. Happy Monday.
Yeah, same to you. Hope everybody had a good weekend.
Did you have a good Father's Day weekend? I did.
Yeah, I did. Got a cold. Came down with a cold Friday night, but it was a good weekend, though.
It was. I changed my son's battery in his car, so I felt fully like a dad.
Yeah.
Well, welcome. This is, again, Rob Knapp, and this is our first session. Had a chance to speak with Amanda and get a kind of a rundown on her perspective on the team, so that was very helpful. And I'd like to spend some time today just kind of making sure you understand the program, exactly how it's going to work, and then hear from you as to what you'd like to get out of the program. And exactly how this is going to work. So before I get started, are there any questions that you have right off the top of your head?
Too many to verbalize. I got a ton, Rob, but I think they'll all be answered through the course of the calls.
Okay. Well, let me give you a heads up on how this program works. We try to design this to make the maximum use of your time and my time to be as efficient as possible. Think of this as getting your CFP or your CIMA or any other course that you've taken designed to enhance your professionalism. And this, think of this as a course in two things. One is on how to improve the client experience, and second, how to turn that client experience into a marketing leverage, marketing tsunami, we'll call it, the ability to really grow your practice at an unprecedented rate. The best thing to do, and I appreciate you being on the call on time, that's a big help for everybody. There's always anxiety when one member is not on the call, either you or me. And it's like, do we have the right day? Do we have the right time? Is this? So getting on time is the first start. That's a great step. The requirements for the course are that you watch the video prior to this call each week. Now we'll send you a connection, an email from Lori Scholey. Will come to you every week, and it'll tell you what videos you need to watch. And there's usually one each week. It's about 20, 25 minutes. And everybody on the team should watch it. Some people watch it together. Some people watch it separately. It's up to you. My suggestion is you watch the video and then come to the call 15 minutes early, discuss the video, come up with any questions or concerns that any member of the team have ahead of time, and then you share those questions and those concerns or any challenges that you're having with me. We then get on the call together like this for a half an hour and deal with the issues associated with that week's call. Now, you have a workbook that goes along with it, 12 weeks. So there's 12 videos and there's 12 chapters to your workbook. So each week you'll have a little bit of reading, you'll watch the video, and then there'll be some challenges or homework for you to do. We'll deal with lots of issues. Everything from, you know, managing the 80-20 rule to team issues and leverage and how to get balance in your life. But it's a process. As you know, Paul, you say you're going to have a lot of questions and they are going to be answered as we go along. The first 4 weeks focus on segmentation. And that, for a lot of teams, is the biggest psychological challenge that they have. You know, what do I do with these accounts? You know, they got me. They were there when I needed them. You know, why should I give them away now? So that's the biggest challenge that that we focus on for the first 4 weeks. Now, simultaneously, we'll talk about other things, getting organized. Marketing, but our first 4 weeks are to deal with that issue, put it to bed, and hopefully move on. Then the next 4 weeks are organization. Once I get my practice down to its core, how do I get organized, and then how do I stay organized? Getting organized is one thing. Staying organized is another. And so that we've come up, you know, it's, the logical thing is once we show you how to do it, we basically take the organization out of your hands and give it to your CSA, and that's the key to staying organized, is that you guys aren't in charge anymore. And that's a big deal for a lot of FAs to give up that control, but in reality, it's pretty silly to think about. There's no other profession out there where the lawyer, the doctor, the dentist, or any of those guys manage their own calendar. So, you know, how we got here was because we all started as sole practitioners with no assistant, and so we had to do everything ourselves. Well, now you guys are mature teams that have got leverage, and so we want people doing the jobs that they should do. We'll set up an organization for the team so that everyone will have responsibilities. We talked to, you know, if there's five people on the team, we want every week five people swimming down their individual lanes. We don't want four people watching one person make folders or one person do something. We want five people swimming at the same time, all doing the thing that they're supposed to be doing, and then reporting back at the end of the week. It helps. Once you get it, you're gonna see tremendous amount of leverage. This is the way teams are supposed to work, but in many cases, they don't work that way. You know, we just aren't. Oftentimes, we don't either know how to get organized, or we're reluctant to tell people on our own team what to do and how to do it. We're going to help you understand what it is that needs to be done. You're going to decide who are the best people for those positions, and then we'll show you how the accountability, which is the key to all of our success as teams, how that accountability is sustained. The last 4 weeks are focused on marketing and leadership. And leadership is the single biggest challenge that most teams have, and we'll show you how we can tie that together and help you maintain that and create a clear vision for the team going forward. So that's the first 12 weeks. Then we start on accountability sessions that last another half an hour each. We build a business plan around what we've learned, and then each month we get together, and you guys report in on how are you doing versus what we agreed that you would do, and then we do that for the next 9 months. And by the time we do that for 9 months, we're in pretty good shape going forward. Now, my belief is that if a team is doing more than $500,000, you should always have a coach. So my intention would be to, if it's a mutually beneficial arrangement and it's a good fit personality-wise, my intention would be to continue as your coach on an indefinite basis, because change is a permanent part of what is happening to our industry and every industry, and having a coach that sees the entire industry and has coached thousands of teams is a huge benefit to you going forward. So I believe this more than I ever did. I've been in the business for 45 years now, and I used to think that having a coach to get through different hurdles was really important, but now I believe that it's something that you should have, whether I'm the coach or somebody else is the coach. You should have a coach forever. Build that into your planning. So with that, let me stop. That's I think a pretty clear introduction. Why don't you tell me about your team? Again, I have some of your statistics, et cetera, but tell me about the team. What do you want to accomplish with Supernova? What are the things that are holding you back? What do you think would be the biggest challenges that you have?
Paul, you want to go first?
Sure. Well, the biggest thing that I want to accomplish with Supernova is to just create a focused team. Right now, I would say that for the most part, we just kind of do our own thing. Everybody on the team just does their own thing, and there really are no goals that have been established, and there's no set of expectations. And then, obviously, since we don't have goals and expectations to speak of, then we don't have any way to monitor how somebody is team members doing against what's expected of them. So there, to formalize that process, I think is something that we're looking for, and to make sure that that we're growing our business in in smart ways with the right clients, and so kind of helping us toward that end. Making sure that we don't waste time, whether it's wasting time by just screwing off or wasting time by dealing with clients that we shouldn't be dealing with, kind of becoming more productive and more efficient. And, right now we've, I'd say the more focused part of our business is trying to right now get financial planning done for all of our clients that we, that we want to keep. And we've probably got about a 20% penetration rate right now in getting those done. So we got a lot of work ahead of us on doing plans for everybody. But that's what I want. And I'll let Lewis and Travis speak what y'all want.
I mean, I concur with all that.
Hey, I'm...
I mean, it would be great to get the book manageable. A lot of accounts that...
How many accounts do you have?
1,400.
Yeah, we got 1,400 accounts, and how many households? 450 households. So, obviously, we got, some trimming to do.
So, how many households do you have? I got kind of garbled.
Well, households, I believe, are right at 450.
Okay. And how many are active FAs that would be making phone calls?
Three.
Okay. So, three into 450 isn't terrible. We think... After somebody's done Supernova for several years, they end up having about 70 clients.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a manageable number. If you had a magic wand and you could balance your life and, you didn't have to say no to anybody, you'd probably choose to have 70 clients.
When you say clients, you're talking about a household?
Yeah,
70 households.
Gotcha, okay.
That would mean that you were making 4 contacts a day instead of 5. With 100, you gotta make 5 contacts. That would be 3 phone calls, 1 phone review, and 1 in-person meeting every day for 100. And that just seems too much for most FAs. They'd like to do 4. So I'll just tell you that's the bottom line. If you adopt Supernova and embrace it completely, that's probably where you will be.
Rob, when you're talking about 5 a day, you're not talking about 5 in-person meetings. You're talking about just 5 calls to check in, review, over the phone kind of thing?
Right. 3 of them would be in-person. Like right now I've got at 4 o'clock, my financial advisor's calling me for our monthly update. And there'll probably be a topic that they want to talk to. There's a couple topics I want to talk about. So we do it once a month, and it happens at the first Monday, well, whatever this is, the third Monday or whatever of the month at 4 o'clock.
Help me understand. I've talked to a lot more than 5 people a day. Clients, of which, you know, reviewing is, their situation is a part of that. So, tell me how that's my life is going to, you're telling me I'm not going to make as many calls?
Yeah, probably not. Yeah. I mean, the idea is that you want to have balance. So you want to have time to do the things that are important in your life, spend time with your family, be able to work out, have proper amount of sleep, exercise, and diet. And we suggest that you spend half your day developing new relationships, networking in the community, and getting the opportunity to be in front of people that will help you double your business. So the intention is not to be busy. The intention is to be effective.
Well, speak to what we kind of mentioned when you asked us what we're trying to get out of it, and that sort of thing. I mean, compare what we said to what you think we should have said.
Oh, no.
You want me to share?
What you said is what 90% of the people come to me say. So, you know, get my team organized, get me organized, keep me organized, help me to grow, and then keep me growing. That's the industry's biggest problem right now. Every person in the industry that, frankly, hasn't gone through coaching model like mine is faced with this problem today. And it's not their fault. This is not your fault. You've been successful. This is the process of growth. You did what you were supposed to do, which was bring in lots of clients, grow your practice, and be successful. Now, the problem is that you've been very successful. You've built a team. Now, frankly, our industry has not taught you what to do from this point on. And this is why you've hired me. That's what we do, is we help you now turn this into a business focused on a company. I mean, it's just like you were a New York Stock Exchange company and you decided to go public. You know, it was fine while you were private, but now that you're going to be a public company, you got to get your act together. So you're going to have, you know, and one of the things that I'd love to see you guys do is write an annual report at the end each year as to how you did, a letter from each one of the executives telling us how you did in your particular area and what are your plans for the new year. So you think of Berkshire Hathaway writing the letter to the stockholders as the outlook of, for the year and how the company is done, and then you get reports from different presidents of different divisions and different companies telling us how they did. And that's what, that's ideally, and including financials. I mean, that's what I'd like to see, including financials. And treat it just like you're a public company and just like, okay, time to grow up. Let's make this a great business. And what will happen?
You want to tell it, Chris, you want to mention to Rob kind of what you expect?
Oh, you want me to go ahead and do that?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah, so we're down in Pensacola, Florida, Rob. We're a little ways away from Paul's team. We have always done a good job of servicing, managing the process, financial plans, and gathering assets. We've just never been able to do any two of those at the same time. So we go through seasons where we service fairly well. We go through seasons where we gather assets fairly well. We do seasons where we really spend a lot of time in financial planning and developing steps of the process that we have. But it seems like it's always one or the other. We never have been able to do them all at the same time. We probably have about 300 households. I was with a prior partner for the last 4.5 years who recently retired. She has a lot of buy and hold, what I call buy and hold clients. So we brought a new FA on in November of this last year. So the timing for us was really good. I would much rather for both Lori and I to be on the same page as we start to service these 300 down to 200, kind of be reading from the same script instead of two FAs who've been in the business for years and years come together, who already have their habits in place and their favorite investment styles in place. So it's a really good time for us to kind of utilize Supernova. And I read this book, gosh, years ago. I reread it this last week in preparation for the call, but was encouraged by your book and by Nick Murray's new financial advisor book back in 2002 when I felt like I needed to find any other job to do. But I'm excited about the next 12 months.
Well, that's great. That's great. Okay. So the good news is that when we do two teams on a call, the good news is we move quickly and we stay on track. The bad news is we move quickly and we stay on track. So the challenge for you guys, it's a wonderful thing because it's kind of like a class and you learn from each other. Because other people are going to be asking questions that you kind of wanted to ask, but you didn't. The bad news is we will not be able to wait for somebody that is behind. So when we're done with segmentation, we'll be done with segmentation. When I do one team at a time, sometimes I can wait for a couple of weeks till they get convinced that segmentation is a good idea. But in this case, we won't be able to do that. So we'll try our best to help you deal with the issues and challenges of, what do I say to these clients that I've had for my whole career. The plain truth is that you get, if you did a Franklin Close, which you remember is where you put the benefits on one side of the piece of paper, and on the other side you put the objections or the problems. And what with Supernova, what you do is when you do the Franklin Close, you get like all these fabulous benefits on one side, and on the other side of the ledger is I have to give away small accounts. So that's the trade-off. There is no other way to explain it. The key element for you is time, and as your practice grows, your time becomes more valuable. When you're a small producer, your time is not that valuable. As you grow, your time becomes more valuable. And that's what's happened here with you guys and with everybody. All of a sudden, now your time is $1,000 an hour or $1,500 an hour or $500 an hour. But it's not $100 an hour. And these clients represent $100 an hour. And what you have to do is say, okay, this, I'm going to get organized. I'm going to have balance in my life. I'm going to be able to deliver fabulous service. I'm not going to lose any big clients. I'm going to be more confident when I prospect because I've got a great story to tell, and I'm going to grow my practice and double my income. That's on one side. On the other side is I have to give up small accounts. And so that's the whole argument. And you and I can talk about this for 4 weeks as to, you know, what are the different ways of thinking about it, but that's the basic story. And, you know, I just got off the phone with Bill Ward, who's, you know, probably in his ninth month. I think he's in his ninth month of coaching this process. He's in Dayton, and he said, I'm really getting ruthless with these people. he said, and he's loving it. I mean, he loves Supernova because it's given him freedom, confidence. He's growing his practice. It's growing by itself. He's getting referrals without asking. And he's much happier with it.
Well, Rob, can I ask a question along those lines? Because you asked me at first if I had any, but that brings one to mind. Dayton, Ohio and Montgomery, Alabama are actually a good bit bigger than Pensacola, Florida, and we still have a lot of our clients outside of the area. But the one issue I have is not the issue of getting rid of the small client. It's getting rid of the small client that I go to Rotary with, that I see on two boards that I sit on. And it's not, that's not one. I mean, that's a couple of dozen. It's the small town impact of getting rid of a client who's not bringing referrals, but is in a very critical position within the community. That's a tough one.
I mean, you know, when we look at these clients, you know, the rule of, you know, we have 11 different screens that we put the clients through, and you can have 9 screens. I think I have 10 or 11 screens in the book. I think I have 9 screens in the workbook. You can put them through all these screens, but in the end, the rule of common sense trumps all other rules. So if a person is the mayor of the town and they're a huge influencer in the community, then clearly, you know, they can be a center of influence for you and can be very important to the growth of your practice and the retention of your clients. But if a person is just a small account, we're not – giving up a client is not the proper term. It's reassigning them so that they can be more effectively served. In many cases, we're not doing them a service today. The truth is that some of your clients, frankly, don't even know who you are. Okay? That may be a gross generality because I know that some of mine didn't. But you don't talk to them regularly. You know, you talk to people and you say, who's your financial advisor, and they can't remember. That means there's no relationship there. So when you reassign them to somebody or to the center where they're going to actually call them, or you reassign them to somebody that's a junior person that's more appropriate in terms of their income, That's a great service for them. So you're actually upgrading the client experience rather than reassigning them, which sounds like it's a terrible thing. So we want, because the point is that you're going to find clients better, a more appropriate experience from now on. It's not going to be something that you do once and then, phew, we're done. We're going to do this forever as long as you keep growing. The idea is that you'll never have more than, quote, 70 clients or 100 clients. And therefore, as you grow and you bring in, you know, if you have, let's say, theoretically, you're doing $1 million, you have 70 clients, and you bring in 10 clients each year for the next 3 years, that's 30 clients, that all are in the top 20% of the practice as it exists, say clients of $2.5 million, you'll double your business. So those 30 clients are then replacing 30 clients at the bottom. So you need to either hire somebody to reassign those clients or reassign them to somebody else within your organization. And that's whether you're doing $1 million or you're doing $10 million. You're constantly reassigning or finding more appropriate people to handle those clients. So it's a mindset. It's one that you'd love to have everybody on the team, but everybody can't be on the team. And so therefore they are assigned to someone that's more appropriate for them. So go ahead.
Like, it's just Paul. So, you know, we've got a 62-year-old, a 49-year-old, and a 30-year-old. So do we all have the same cutoffs, or do we have different cutoffs? You know, should I be giving a client that maybe I don't feel like, is my best use of time to work with, just give them to a call center or give them to one of somebody else on the team? What do you see there happening?
All right, so that brings us to our homework assignment is establishing our maximum number of clients that we're going to service for each member of the team. So, Paul, you may not want to have 100. You may want to have 70. Now, that doesn't happen, so we have two different goals when it comes to maximum. We have our what we would consider our current maximum that we can have, let's say, 100, but our target maximum would be 70. So, and you want to write those two things down. You may want to always have 100, but you may even say, no, I never want to have 100. I'm going to go to 70. Okay. I took on a guy that had 40 clients. By the time we were done, we had 30 clients. So it's up to you what you want. So that's one thing. That's the maximum. Your minimum, you want to have two different minimums. And one is the minimum that you, the average of your practice. Say your practice, let's say it's a $2 million practice. The average of your that practice might be $2 million. All right, the average client, and they produce $20,000 or say. That would be your absolute minimum. Because if you brought in somebody new that was less than that minimum, unless they were a center of influence or had a great story of some sort, they would dilute your practice. All right, so that would be one thing. Now, the second part of that is you'd have your target minimum. Let's go back to making it $1 million number is an easy number to work with. Let's say your average client is a million and you do $10,000. That's your average. That's your absolute minimum. Your target minimum would be the average of the top 20% of your practice, which would be probably about $2.5 million or $25,000 in revenues. So that would be your target. Now, when you set those minimums, that's for the whole team, because you don't want one member of the team bringing in small accounts and another one bringing in clients that fit your team minimum. Everybody should be prospecting the same target clients. But that doesn't mean that you're not going to get rid of all your clients immediately, get rid of all the smaller accounts. You're going to get down to your target, a 100 clients. Somebody might have 100 clients, and somebody might have 70 clients. So you might reassign clients to that person, even though they don't hit the team's minimums, but you want to keep them for a while. Now, as you bring in the next $5 million client, maybe you get rid of some of the smaller clients. So you want to make an initial big cut here, and then you want to work at trying to cut it down, cut it down, cut it down, until you get to your absolute target.
Well, Rob, can I ask a question on that? Because that's a little bit different than the way Lori and I were looking at it. So for simplicity's sake, let's say there's 200 clients after we've gone through the segmentation. And let's say that the top, you know, my 100 to the top 20% is a $2 million client with $20,000 in revenue. But when you look at Lori's top 20%, which is basically numbers 101 through 200, her top 20% is a $500,000 client producing $5,000. So our thought was, as we brought in new clients, that everything would roll through the entire book. But, you know, if my absolute minimum is $750,000 and we find a $500,000 client, my thought was, well, that goes into her book and pushes things out of the bottom of her book, even though it doesn't go in mine. But you're saying that the $1.5 million and the $750,000 minimum needs to be for both of us.
Yeah, you don't want, let's say you had five people in your team, everybody with different minimums, would be way confusing, okay? So this way everybody's looking for the same, you guys are a team, you're not individuals. You're both looking for the same kind of client with the same minimums, the same net worth, the same everything. So you want to train her to think like you think. Because you don't want her bringing in a client and you're like, yeah, that's not so good, you know. When she brings in a client, you want to be excited about it. And so it's a team effort. She can have the smaller clients, but that's not what she's working on bringing in. We sort of put behind us the old minimums, and we now have new minimums that are team minimums. I've studied this a long time, and I tried to be sympathetic towards two minimums and multiple. One thing about Supernova that you'll kind of really like is it's simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. We don't have A clients, B clients, C clients, D clients, and all that stuff. You don't have to remember who gets a birthday card and who doesn't. Everybody gets A service. And we say every client deserves to be somebody's A client. So we focus on what we want, and then we get it. And you'll be surprised, you know, she may be better at getting these big clients than you are. You know, you want her thinking the same way.
Okay.
But a good question. It's a normal thing. We're always going to go, as human beings, we're always going to go for the easiest solution, the one with the least amount of stress, conflict. That's not Supernova. What other questions? Try and make this week's homework as academic as you can. Try and keep your emotion out of it as you study your practice. The thing we're going to ask for next, and you can go ahead and do this, because homework takes 15 minutes to figure it out. You know, what are my absolute minimums, target minimums? What are my maximum? What's my target maximum? Go ahead and look through your clients and determine where they came from, because that's the second thing we're going to try and do is understand where our practice came from. So take your top 50 clients and go through them and determine, how did we get these clients? Were they from a center of influence? Did I cold call them? Were they reassigned? Did they come from my old partner? If they came from your old partner, try and determine where she got them or he got them, okay? because what we're looking for is a we're looking to determine if there is a natural niche or a target niche that you know, our practice, we're going to try and do more of what has worked in the past. That's the first thing we do, is we try and determine, we want to become consciously competent about what we're good at. And sometimes we don't know what we're good at because we haven't thought about it. So if we're really good at bringing in doctors, that's what we want to figure out, and then how can we do more of that? Go ahead.
Bob, that brings up one question. This is Chris. So with my exiting partner, there are a handful, I don't know, 20 plus or minus of clients that I just don't know aren't generating revenue but have a decent amount of assets, and my mindset is those become prospects until proven otherwise. So they're not going to be in the top whatever of servicing Supernova for the A clients. But when we get to reaching out and starting to prospect, I'm going to prospect them just like I would a referral that somebody gives me and determine in a certain amount of time, are they going to be potential new clients or not potential new clients? I guess my question to you, is that a fair way to deal with those unknown clients?
Yes, we call that fill or kill. We all have a $5 million client, you know, use us for a checking account. We don't really have a relationship. We don't want anybody in our practice where we don't have a relationship. When you go back and look at the, what are those criteria that we build for keeping clients? I like them, they like me, I trust them, they trust me, I listen to them, they listen to me, and they have the ability to be a client, meaning they have the money. Those are my criteria. But that fundamentally tells you what, you know, plus they are referability, their profitability, you don't have to travel. So when we, you know, when we look at clients, we don't want just revenues, we want to look at profitability. Do we have to go to the West Coast to see them? That's going to cost more, they're going to have to generate more. But when you think about a client, you know, it's they're not, it's not just because somebody has $5 million of assets with you doesn't mean there is a relationship. So my suggestion is we're going to learn the script on what to say. And the script basically goes very similar to this. What we have, what we're offering to our client, you know, This is what you tell people. You just, you know, people say, what do I say? I said, just be very honest with them. Say, look, you know, the good news is our practice has grown. The bad news is it's grown to the point where we're concerned about the level of service we're able to give to our best clients. So what we did is we hired a consultant. He's written a book called The Supernova Advisor. And what we're doing is we're offering what we think is an exceptional client experience. So what we're offering is 12 scheduled appointments, 4 reviews, 2 of them in person, and rapid response to your problems, 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. All this is built on a platform of planning. And that planning then generates the ideas and the conversations that we're going to have in these 12 scheduled appointments. How does that sound? And the person says, wow, that sounds fabulous. Am I one of them? And you say, yes, or unfortunately at this point, you know, and then you go on. But the idea with this conversation would be, is you would have that conversation with that $5 million, take them to dinner, take them to lunch, and just say, be all excited, and assume you're going to say yes. That's the key to selling, is assume the close. I mean, that's one of the keys. But being very confident about what you're doing and why you're doing it. You know, we're offering a multi-generational planning process with 12 scheduled appointments, 4 reviews, 2 of them in person, rapid response to our problems, 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. How does that sound? Sounds fabulous. Good. I'd love you to be part of the team. I'd like you to be on board. in order to do that, we're going to have to do a financial plan. We're going to look forward to providing you the level of service we do the rest of our clients. Does that sound good? Yes, I would love a financial plan. Yes, I would love, would not mind paying you 1%, okay? So that $5 million client becomes a $50,000 payer, and you're off. If they say, no, I just really want to keep you as a checking account, you know, and I've got my other guys, and you say, I'd love that to happen, but that's not going to be possible, so I'm going to find somebody that is better suited for you, and you reassign them. But you do not mess around. I mean, you do it. You get it done. You go through those clients, and you fill or kill.
Okay.
And that's what you do with all your clients. Because, you know, I did this for so many years. I know. You know, we had CEOs on the books who wouldn't talk to us. You know, they'd only email us and things. We had no relationship with them. When it came push them to shove, they were gone. So you got to say to yourself, look, I'm good. I'm excellent at this. I would love to do business with you. And if you don't want to do business with me, I'll find somebody that is better suited for you. And it provides tremendous freedom. You get a fresh start in your practice, and you know exactly where you are, and you're not kidding yourself that you have all these prospects out there. Well, you either do or you don't. So that's what we're going to do. And that's what we're going to do with our prospects. We don't want a bunch of prospects. We want a bunch of good prospects. So we're going to... You know, we're going to try and nail this thing down and really get a good, solid, fresh start on where we're going and how we're going to get there. So, any other questions? We go a little longer because of the there's so much to cover, and we're still not going to cover everything today. But any questions before we close?
The only thing is just kind of make sure that we know what our homework is going to be. So our homework is going to be determining the absolute minimum and the target of our prospects and our clients and segment the book according to that. Or I guess
right,
kind of recap what you want our homework to be.
No problem. You determine what the maximum number of clients that you want now, okay? And then your target number of clients. So let's say that you kind of look at the calendar and what that would look like. You know, 5 calls a day, 4 calls a day, 3 calls a day. How many do you want? All right. I'm good with 100. I'm going to be good with 100 going forward. That's great. Okay, good. That 100's it. Or I really want to be at 70, okay? I really don't want – I only want 4 scheduled appointments. I want time to prospect. I want time to work out. All right, so that's the maximum. Then you have the minimum. What's my minimum account that I will accept, new account that I will accept into the practice? So you look at take the average of your practice, and that becomes your absolute minimum. And then your target minimum is the top 20% of your practice. All right? So that's your minimum. All right? So we got max, min. Now we're going to do a little bit of marketing analysis. We're going to do a little forensics at the same time. The third piece is look at that top 20% of your practice, 50 clients, whatever it is. On 200, it'd be, 50 clients or so. And see where they came from. Do a little forensics as to, you know, how did I build this practice? Where did these people come from? What do they have in common? Did I get them from centers of influence? Did I get them from a mastermind group? Did I do it from social prospecting? Did I get them from LinkedIn? Did I inherit them? If I inherited them, where did they originally come from? If you can do it. I mean, And what you're going to get then is a pattern of similarities. And that will give us a starting point. Because what we're going to work on then is niches, target niche, and your natural niche, as to the easiest way to grow your business is to do what you're already doing well. Just do it better and do more of it. That's the easiest thing to do. Okay, so that's the low-hanging fruit of marketing. So we're gonna do the easiest thing first. Some people came into the business at 22 and they didn't have a natural niche, and they just cold called everybody out of the Yellow Pages. So it's a complete random craziness. But most of us didn't. We have something where they're all members of the country club, or they came from, just different CPAs, or somehow we got them. All right, so there's three pieces to this, and it won't take you that long. It's a pretty simple start. We don't want to kill you right off the bat.
Rob, one more question.
Sure.
We have we've used interns pretty regularly. We actually hired a new one on about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I know one of the assignments week one in the book is actually hire an intern. I was going to have Kelly contact Cindy and say, hey, our intern's here early, and she's running out of stuff to do.
Awesome.
Maybe some things that Cindy could say, well, here's a place to buy the files. She might want to go start labeling. I mean, can Cindy give us some insight as to how we can use that intern over the next 4 weeks?
Yeah, Chris. This is Chris, right?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead and look ahead. I think it's in week 3 or 4. We tell you where to order the files from. And so just don't be afraid to go ahead and look ahead in the homework. Because if you get the files, you get the folders now, order your folders. We'll see, and you can, both of you guys can call Cindy now and get the scheduler. We can give you a lesson on the scheduler ahead of time, how that works, and that's a great project for an intern. The intern can start building the folders based on. So don't, if you're ready to go, don't hesitate to look forward into the workbook and watch the videos ahead of time. That's fine. I'll go as fast as you guys want to go. But interns are really a big help. I know it takes a while to hire them. It's a pain. It's good for them. It's good for you. And they're smart. And sometimes they end up being, members of your team eventually. But you're doing a nice service for your community and helping these kids to make a little extra money. And it can be a huge help. The intern can then write a paper about Supernova. Have him or her read the book, learn Supernova, do it all, and then write a paper on how it impacts the service industry. Talk about the 80-20 rule, and then submit it to their professor, and they'll get an A. So it's a nice thing to do. So, what is an intern? Hire an intern. People say, what do I do with them? I said, have them do Supernova. Have them help your CSA do the whole thing. This is not complicated. The schedule is a little tricky to work with, but these kids are smart as anything, and they understand, Excel spreadsheets and how that works. So they'll be brilliant at it. So good question. Mm-hmm. Where do you get an intern? Local universities. I mean, business schools, they love to do this. They love to have their people trained. It's great for their resume. And, everybody wins.
Yep. We've had really good success. But I'll tell you, Paul, I think I mentioned this when you and I talked last week. With Morgan Stanley, it takes a while. Once you've identified the intern, they've agreed to it for Morgan Stanley to have them on the system up and running. So you have to wait for Morgan Stanley longer than anything else.
That takes a couple of months, unfortunately.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe we can expedite it. Maybe we'll get some of these regulations off our back, right?
How much are you paying your intern?
Well, since mine's my daughter, I started her at $10 an hour.
Okay.
Yeah, that's up the market. That's a good price.
I asked the baristas at Starbucks what they were making, and when they said this is like three or four years ago, and they said $10, I'm like, well, that's a competitive rate. So we've had some that have made as much as $12, $12.50 because we've had some stay with us a long time. We've had two that went into the business full time, but not with us in different cities. So we've had about 7 interns through the years, 6 or 7.
Yeah, we've had several, but they usually just for the summer and their clients' kids, and they just sit out here and do nothing.
Don't do that. That's terrible. They deserve to do something. Make them work. You know, fire them if they don't do their job.
Don't fire your biggest client's kids, though.
I know. That's why you don't hire client's kids. Go to the university and hire them. It's a business experience, and they'll do a good job partly because of that.
Okay.
All right, guy. Hey, this is going to be fun. I look forward to it.
You too, Rob. Looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Rob.